Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Carolyn Roberts on striving less and living more with God as your guide.
If you find yourself in situations where it's like you're performing for people's approval, you're pleasing people, or it can even be like for me at a point, it was like I was performing for God. And I'm sure in my heart, I believe it was well intended, but it's like I had this mindset of like, God, are you pleased with me? Are you happy with what I'm doing? If I miss the mark, I'm like, the Lord, are you mad at me? So I really had an unhealthy perspective.
Carolyn Roberts next. Today on His People, Sunny sits down with Carolyn Roberts for a conversation on her newest book, The Beauty of Being, Strive Less and Live More with God as Your Guide. Carolyn is an author and speaker who is blazing the trail for change makers and transformational leaders around the globe. She helps women learn to release the what-ifs in their lives, rest in their identity as daughters of God, and embrace both who and where they are right now.
Well, Carolyn, we're here to talk about your new book, The Beauty of Being, Strive Less and Live More with God as Your Guide. But before we get into that, for those of us meeting you for the first time, first, I want to welcome you, but we'd also just love to hear a little bit about Carolyn and what led you to write this book, The Beauty of Being.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So first and foremost, I am a daughter of God. And, you know, just that alone is a testament of my journey leading up to writing this book. I wrote this book after taking a sabbatical and basically a year off from writing, because before that, I would write a book every single year. But I found that I came to a place of burnout after constantly just striving and moving and just finding my validation and my worth in all the wrong places. And I had to come to a place on my 30th birthday. I just had a breakdown moment and I said, God, I don't care to have the next big title. I don't care to even, you know, be a leader or have the next big ministry. I just want to be your daughter. And that was the genesis of me just going on a sabbatical, going on this journey to rewire my mind and my identity of who I was. So I just like to introduce myself as that first, as first and foremost, a daughter of the King, but I'm also a wife and a mother, someone who just loves creative things. I love writing. I love baking. So that's just a little bit about me.
Awesome. Well, we got to know, when you are baking, what is your favorite thing to bake?
I think cookies.
Yeah.
I love cookies. Actually, I want to try a new recipe with my kids that I tried for the first time at this Christian festival I went to. It was s'more cookies, and they had like a big marshmallow in the middle.
See, and now you're going to bring out the cheese ball in me, because I want to say, let's have s'more of that. So, oh, goodness. So tell us, why is it so important for women to truly understand their identity as God's beloved daughters, especially in a culture that is constantly pushing us to strive and compare?
I feel like if we don't know our identity as God's beloved daughters, then the world will try to tell you who you are or who they want you to be. And I feel like we will get stuck in this rat race of always trying to become, right, that you never settle and realize who you've already been created to be. And I feel like to an extent, it can be a distraction from your purpose, from what God is really calling you to do, because you are setting your own goals or your own standard of something you're striving towards, whether it's because you're seeing what other people are doing or you're comparing your journey to another. But I feel like if we kind of just slow down and spend time with the Lord, discover our identity in Him and rest in that, then there's more room for Him to speak to us, pour into us, and we go on His pace rather than running ahead of Him because we're striving towards a certain goal or a certain status in life.
It's funny. I think that there's this part of us as Christians that we will say, my identity is being a daughter of the King, right? It's like this, we say the words, but having that message move from just our mouths into our heart and our sense of being, what do you think that process looks like? Like, what does it mean to actually find your identity as a daughter?
One of the things that comes to my mind is knowing that there's no need to perform. So it's easy to say something, but if you find yourself in situations where it's like you're performing for people's approval, you're pleasing people, or it can even be like for me at a point, it was like I was performing for God. And I'm sure in my heart, I believed it was well intended, but it's like I had this mindset of like, God, are you pleased with me? Are you happy with what I'm doing? If I miss the mark, I'm like, Lord, are you mad at me? So I really had an unhealthy perspective of whether or not God was pleased with me in my relationship with him. But I think what has helped me in being a mother and having children, like my children's performance does not change, you know, my love for them. My love for them is always the same, though I have to discipline them. I may disagree with certain things they do, but my love for them is always unconditional. So what more the father? So, you know, you kind of just have to catch yourself in moments where you feel like, you know, you're just doing a lot, you're just striving a lot, you're performing, and kind of pause and be like, you know, no, I'm already good enough. Christ already did it on the cross for me, right? So I think it takes intentionality in those moments. It takes a level of self-awareness, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. He'll reveal to you those moments where you're performing and operating out of a place of just works versus just resting in him and your relationship that you have with him.
I can so relate to that, where we get caught up in a cycle of doing for God, right? Like, mm-hmm. I got to do the next big thing for God. And maybe we jump on that, that treadmill, because out of the goodness in our heart, like, I just want to do something for you, God. And it starts mm-hmm. out like that. But boy, we can get caught in that cycle, I mean, for longer than we really want to. But I saw you have a chapter in your book that really caught my attention. It's called The Doctrine of Doing. And it opens up with this. You say, many of us have grown so accustomed to doing that somewhere along the line, we started to associate our identity, our value, and our worth with what we do. And boy, is this relatable. It's along what we were already talking about. But tell us more about this doctrine of doing and what it looks like to choose something else.
Yeah. So I felt like that this was a doctrine that I had fell under in the season where I was just burnt out. And it's basically when all you're constantly hearing, and there's no balance to it, but all you're constantly hearing or receiving is, do what God tells you to do. Make sure that, you know, you're obedient. Are you fulfilling your purpose? Are you walking in your calling? It's just, what are you doing physically? But there's no focus on your heart. There's no focus on relationship with the Lord. And one of the things that helped me kind of rewind and go to, look, okay, what's the difference between doing and resting in being? Is that before we even had the capability or the capacity to do anything, it's like God knew us before he formed us in our mother's womb, and he already gave us a purpose. He already gave us a calling. He already gave us worth and identity. So it's like, what can a child really do before they're fully matured, right? To grow up and then go out into the world and work. They can't really do anything, right? But that does not take away their worth. That does not take away their value and their identity. So a lot of what I talk about in the book is kind of going back to that place of being a child, or even recognizing before you even had the capacity or ability that the Lord gives you, because we can't do anything outside of him, right? You already had identity. You already had value. You already had purpose. And one of the scriptures I like is that, you know, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches, and he who abides in me bears much fruit. And it's just that idea of abiding in the Lord. You can actually accomplish more, I believe, sometimes. Like if you just spend a whole day and you're like, God, I'm dedicating this day to just spend with you, you would be amazed the breakthroughs, the revelations, the ideas, the peace that can happen just in that moment with the Lord versus like a whole month of you just checking everything off your list and going and going. So I really feel like there is an acceleration of fruit and production when we are able to actually slow down and abide in God.
So it doesn't sound like you're saying that there can no longer be any doing, right? Because I hear you saying like, hey, actually, there is something that comes out of our life, out of an overflow of that abiding with God. And I know you talk a little bit in your book about that sometimes we're just on autopilot in this doing. Mm-hmm. And so how does focusing on being take us out of that and change the way that we face everyday life?
It's that intentionality piece. I feel like we are on autopilot because we're just kind of going with the motions of what's expected. We just become so familiar with our life or our position or the roles, and probably just like survival mode. If you're a mother, in and out, okay, car line, lunch, bring the kids to school. But I found when you kind of just slow down a little bit and take delight in these things and recognize the beauty in them. So that's why the book is not just being, but it's the beauty of being. So there is a beautiful thing about slowing down, taking it in, inviting the Holy Spirit into that place, allowing him to show you moments of creativity or moments where you can have joy, moments where he's speaking to you. So it's more so like taking a moment to slow down and just making sure you're being intentional, you're being mindful, and you just invite God into your day so that he's infused into every part of it. But I feel like sometimes we compartmentalize. It's like, okay, God here Sunday, and then I have my business here, and then I have, you know, my family here. But it's like when you are abiding and you're connecting into God, he's infused into everything. And then you can be intentional about recognizing those sweet moments of joy, recognizing those places of delight. And it turns the what is mundane or what may seem like you're going with the motions, it brings back the purpose into it. You know, you feel more energized and excited about it. I got burnt out to that place because I was just going through the motions. I forgot the purpose of why I was doing it. I was just kind of just going and going, and it took the joy out of it. It took the delight out of it. And I kind of had to rest, refresh, refocus, and God rested too, right? After he made the world. And it's like after you are intentional about taking those moments to rest, you get this rejuvenation of energy and redirection and focus, and Christ is the center. And then you can go back into what he's called you to do now from a healthier and more fruitful place. So I'm definitely not saying, you know, we're not called to do anything. I'm saying we have to do it from a place of abiding in the Lord, because then we have the best energy. We have Christ as the center of it. And we're not just kind of just going with the motions. And then we feel drained and we're complaining and stressed out and all of that.
It's when you were at the very beginning of that, you painted the picture of a mother, and immediately my heart went, oh, I know those seasons where you're like juggling all the things. You've got the baby on the hip. You're trying to run your household. You're trying to be a good wife. You're trying to make sure you get your daily devotional time in. And I just know how stretching that can feel in that season. And I, more than that, I also think that as women in those seasons, we can feel like it is 100% impossible in this season for us to slow down and abide. So for a woman who is listening, who is going, Carolyn, thanks, but this is not my season. I can't. I don't have time for that. I've got babies that need me and, you know, whatever else she might be making as her reason why she can't abide. How would you encourage her today?
I want to encourage her today that she does not have to be perfect. So what helped me in, you know, that foundation of knowing that I'm a daughter of God and his love for me is not based on my performance. I have responsibilities that I meet and I have priorities that I need to focus on. We have no choice for that. Give yourself grace. If you have moments, if the dishes couldn't be washed today, you don't have to be perfect. Like, you have to give yourself that grace. And I feel like that's what helped me, knowing that I don't have to have, I have four small kids, okay? I'm not gonna have the perfectly spotless, clean house. Like, so who is giving you that standard? What is the standard that the Lord has given you? And what is the pressure that you're just putting on yourself, you know, to be perfect? And just, that just gives me some room to breathe and, you know, to rest. And your standard that God gives you or whatever, it does not have to look at the other person. So I think that's what comparison comes in. We feel like our devotional time has to be, you know, in a fancy prayer closet, and it has to be like 2 hours with the concordance and just different things. Sometimes that's awesome and God will give you space for that. But sometimes it's praying in the car with your kids, listening to a sermon on the way, like doing a 5-minute devotional in the morning. Give yourself grace in those moments. That's all I can say, because that's what encouraged me, was just gracing myself and knowing like I do not have to be perfect and I am not going to reach that level of perfection. But as long as, you know, I have the standard that God has given me and he's pleased with how I am stewarding what he has given me, then that's all that matters.
Yeah. I hear that permission you're giving women to just lean into the grace of God. And it about the morning kind of routine and the comparison we fall into, when I had one little one, she was 4, and then I had an infant, and I was in that, like, how am I supposed to get my quiet time in, and feeling like I was failing God, right? Like, I know I'm supposed to abide in him, but because of that comparison, and I remember going to another mother she was ahead of me on the journey, and she just said to me, listen, I had to give myself that permission, speaking to the grace that you just did. And she said, I learned that my quiet time could never be in the morning. I don't even want to hang out with myself in the morning. And that just made me like, oh, goodness. So I could do this in the evening. Or you gave the permission of while you're in the car, of just that for that woman who is listening right now. We do want you to know it can look different than it does for other people. You find your rhythms. But we've been talking a little bit here about mindset and just kind of about the way that we think. So let's talk about the practical things. Mm. What do you think it looks like to practically abide in God?
I really take seriously, and I didn't before, but I really take seriously Sabbath rest now. On Sundays, you know, we go to church and, you know, I don't cook on Sundays. We just chill. I enjoy a good Sunday nap. That's one of the things that, you know, when I was in that super busy season and ministry and entrepreneurship, I would go to church on Sunday and then I'll come home and answer emails and be working. And then Monday would come and I would feel drained and exhausted and burnt out. And I felt conviction from the Holy Spirit to really try him in this. The emails can wait, you know, work can wait on Sundays, and try him in this and see the difference it makes, like in my mood Monday and going forth in the week. So that is something that genuinely just helped me in a practical way, was to just be intentional about that. And then I think just creating systems helped me as well, so that I'm not using so much brain work. So creating systems in my home, creating systems in my business. And then the last thing is asking for help, just on a practical level. So even now, you know, with my husband, maybe asking him, hey, babe, can you watch the kids for a moment? I just need a moment to decompress or spend time with the Lord or pray. Mm-hmm. Or even with the kids, get them involved. Sometimes we are just burnt out and drained. Like my daughter, she's getting older, so she'll help me out. I'll be like, hey, Evie, can you just empty out the dishwasher and I'll fill it up? And then that 15, 20 minutes that she's taking to empty out the dishwasher, that's extra time for me where I can maybe go and take a shower, right? In the shower, in the bath. Those are my moments too, to kind of just decompress. The Lord speaks to me in the shower. I like to worship in the shower. So I think that finding those creative pockets where you can either ask for help or kind of just pull away for a moment. God can do so much and fill you in those times. But sometimes we're afraid to ask for help because we don't want to seem needy or put a burden on someone else. But it's super important.
And even in the practical there, it's funny when you mention the shower, because I feel like all people can relate to, suddenly you get in the shower and all of the ideas come, or everything that you've, like, that's where the solutions come. And if you think about it, in and of itself, that speaks to what you're talking about, because we're doing nothing in the shower except being, right? We're not, you know what I mean? And so of course it comes. And so I was just like, wow, that's actually a really great practical piece right there. And even just grabbing the little moments. Now, you also spoke to asking for help, but what about, do you feel like there is a way for us to carry this message of being and honoring the beauty of being, is there a way for us to carry it into other people's or to speak it into other people's lives? And if so, what does that look like?
Yes. Oh, yes. That's really, really good. I feel like creating an atmosphere where people can be fully authentic, be themselves, and just let them know, like, hey, when you're with me or when you're at my house, like, there is absolutely no judgment, loving them from a pure place, you know, letting them know you're just okay to be. Like, I love you for who you are. Even the best relationships that I have are with friends where I can fully be myself, whether that's goofy, you know, I don't have to feel like I need to talk all the time. If I'm quiet, there's no offense, I'm just relaxing. I feel like that's such a refresher, and that fills me having relationships like that. So if we could be that for other people, that can just make a difference. Because just having a space where you just feel embraced and loved unconditionally with no judgment is so important.
So now you also talk about letting go of the what ifs. And I'd love for you to share with us, what do you mean by a what if? And what are some of the hardest what ifs that you've had to let go of in your life?
I feel like the what ifs is when you're in the present and we want to be and just be in the moment, but you're either looking to the past or you're looking to the future. You're missing what God is doing right here, right now. And it's like, what if I had did something differently? Then where would I have been? Or what if this would have happened? Or what if I didn't do this? Then where would I have been right now? We can't change the past and what has happened, but sometimes we're stuck in that place. Or on the other flip side of it, man, what if I become this? Or what if I do this? Or what if I do that? But it's like, are you taking the steps and planting the seeds focused on the right now to even get to that point, right? Mm. So the what ifs can kind of be a distraction. I think it's healthy to, you know, casually, if you ask it here and there, but when you're stuck in that place of looking back or looking forward and you're not present in the moment, that can be a distraction and a hindrance. So the question, what are some of the what ifs in my life that I had to let go of? I think one of the things that I recently walked through that is a big part of my purpose is I was in pageantry for many years. I've done different pageants, and the Lord called me to stop in pageantry and start a pageant platform for women of God where He can be a light. And I remember in the beginning, I asked myself the question, like, what if I didn't start it at this point? What if I continued on in different pageants? Would I have become this person? Or what journey would have God brought me on? And the Lord had to settle in my heart. But what if you weren't doing what I called you to do right now? Like, how many women would have missed out on the opportunity to be a light for Christ, to be ambassadors in their different communities and cities? And a lot of times when we're focused on the what ifs of our own self, we miss the what if you do something that can impact more people because it's greater than you. So that's one of the biggest what ifs that I had to let go of, because I was just limiting it to what if me. And God is like, no, what if you do what I'm calling you to do right now? Then what kind of impact can that have on the lives of all these women that you are discipling and mentoring?
That is a word right there. Like, just it's a what if shift that you're calling us to, like just flipping that and taking it out of the me. And I can think, actually, every time I was relating to you with a what if I were to just flip it off of the focus on me, and even just the what if I'm with you right now? What if it's true that I'm with you? Even just that would you say that that's an invitation to just presence in this moment? Is that kind of what I heard tucked underneath all of that?
Definitely,
is the
definitely
invitation to presence with God?
Wow. Like, what if you are present where I have you right now? Because I believe that in every moment God is with us and He's doing something, and I don't want to miss what God is doing right now, because that means that I'm outside of His timing. So His timing in this moment is what He's doing right now. And I just want to be a part of that, and I want to be connected to that and not run ahead of Him or not get lost in the past. The past is the past. We can't go back to that. That's just definitely an invitation to His presence in this moment.
So what do you think walking in our calling, okay? I mean, that's what started you on the treadmill of doing, right? Was this, it was your calling that you were chasing. It was, you know, doing all the right things for God. But what does calling look like now from a posture of rest? Because I imagine calling itself doesn't go away. It's not that you never think of it anymore. But talk to us about that shift a little.
Yes, it's exactly what you said. It was calling that I was chasing. It was purpose. It was the thing. It was the platform that I was chasing. But God is first and foremost, He is our calling. It's in Him. When we stop chasing the thing or idolizing the thing or the idea of the thing, and we put God first and foremost, everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. All things, meaning including your calling, including your purpose, everything that He has for you in your life, if you would just put the Lord first and keep Him front and center, it's just natural. It's going to come out of you. The fruit's going to come out of you. He will walk you step by step. You may not have the full answer up front of everything, but if you just continue to abide and stay in Him, He's going to lead you to where you need to be. He's going to open the right doors. He's going to provide you with everything you need. But the Lord is a jealous God. And I feel like sometimes we can idolize the woman we want to become or the man we want to become or idolize the idea of what God has called us to do. But if we would just keep Him first and know, first and foremost, I am called to this ministry of reconciliation, this relationship with you, knowing you, I'm called to worship you. That's the greatest thing. And then everything else will fall into place after that.
Well, friends, if you've been listening along and tracking alongside going, she is talking to me, I want to encourage you to pick up Carolyn Roberts' book, The Beauty of Being, Strive Less and Live More with God as Your Guide. And with that, as we close here, is there any final words that you'd like to encourage people with? Maybe somebody who's really caught up in the cycle of striving? I mean, anything final you'd leave them with?
I want to just challenge you to take a moment today. You know, don't wait. Take a moment today, even if it's just a 5 minutes. One of the things that I found that helps me to just be and be intentional and allow the Lord to speak to me is just journaling, just writing down the things that are on my heart, the things that kind of have been bothering me, but also pausing and allowing God to respond or just sitting in the silence and seeing what He reveals. So I want to challenge you to just take a moment and sit with the Lord and take a moment to just simply be, pour out your heart to your Father. Know that there's no shame, there's no pretense. You do not need to perform, but that He loves you. And then after you do that, give Him a moment, take a moment of silence and see what He reveals to you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your season. I know as we're recording this, it's Christmas season. And so we really appreciate the value you've added to our audience. And we hope you make those yummy s'more cookies and, you know, feel free to drop some in the mail for us.
I will. Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Carolyn Roberts, author of The Beauty of Being, Strive Less and Live More with God as Your Guide. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Matthew Traylor on retirement as a renewed call to discipling ministry.
What we want to help men particularly understand is you have a purpose beyond your vocation. And if we start now while we're in our vocation, it's a great way to begin thinking about what am I doing now that's beyond and greater than my vocation, and how am I impacting the kingdom ultimately? It's really changing perspectives.
That's tomorrow at the same time right here on His People. Thanks for listening.